Sooners of Oklahoma, 12-0 and still looking for respect nationwide.
What's going on, you people? This your boy T-Mac, guys. I'm jumping right into my 10 thoughts on our loss against West Virginia, guys. This is a game that I didn't get overly emotional about. This is a game that we've seen over the course of this season, essentially who we are as a team, what the rendition of the 22 Oklahoma Sooners are. And so as much as it pains my heart to say it, in lieu of going crazy and throwing my remote or getting upset and wanting to be angry and yelling at my kids, for God's sake, or something like that, hopefully some of you guys didn't go there with your families. I took it on the chin. We are who we are. Our players are our players. We lack leadership. We lack discipline. We are not a physical team. We're not even a very smart team. All right. And there's a reason. We're in serious jeopardy of breaking our record of 23 consecutive seasons of having a winning record. We've got to win the last two games. And the beauty is we have the dogs to do it. The problem is they've got to do it for 60 minutes the next two Saturdays. And so I'm going to dive right into these 10 thoughts and let you guys know exactly what I'm thinking as we prepare for this next week of practice. Number one is the quarterback. It's unacceptable. At a school like the University of Oklahoma, I can't remember the last time we've had quarterback play this suspect. From missing wide open plays that are surefire touchdowns. Mims misses one, and we'll talk about receivers, but my goodness, guys, the possession before the drop, go look at Mims run a skinny post. There's no one within 10 yards of him, and there's no pressure at all in Dylan Gabriel's face. There's none. I have no clue how you miss a receiver by 5 yards. The ball is 4 yards behind him, skipping off the turf as he's running up the seam, wide open. He's so open, the safety doesn't move. The safety literally just drops his jaw and watches as it happens. It's not okay. By the way, some good throws. You know, he's showing some will and some grit to want to make it happen, but nothing is solidified, right? When we need a play, guys, we were 1-11 on third down, and a lot of times that's your quarterback making a play. And you know, go watch any level of football, whether it's high school, college, big time, power five, NFL football, guys. On third down, guess what? The defense takes away the gimmies. Right? They're not going to give you the 5 yard slant. They're not going to give you the speed out. They're not going to just allow you. They're not going to put five in the box against, you know, five down linemen with a tight end. They're not going to give it to you. You have to earn it. Third down is won by your players. You got to go make plays. The same way, third and fourth downs are won by your players on the other side of the ball. There's a lot of times we've schemed up exactly what we need to do. We don't get it done. From a quarterback's perspective, you got to take that on the chin. From a leadership perspective, quarterback, you got to go make the play. It's not like we had a ton of third downs where you threw it right between the 1 and 7, or you threw it right between the 1 and 2 and our guys drop it. We don't make the play, right? So as a quarterback, man, you've got to improve. Dylan, you are opening the door for a true freshman to come in mid-semester and take your job. You are opening the door. You are allowing the possibility, the opportunity for Jackson Arnold to stick it out, come in December, and be the guy next fall. The question you got to ask yourself, by the way, this is, coach may not be saying that this week because they got game prep for a big rivalry game. Oh, but coach is thinking in the back of his mind. For sure. And he's having that conversation with Jackson, for sure, in back channels. For sure. Why? Because Coach Venables and Jeff Lebby were brought here to win. Do it the right way, with high character, right? All the intangibles, but at the end of the day, that win-loss column matters. And as a quarterback, I can't think of one game you've won for us this year. I don't know of a game where, like, boom, Dylan was the difference. It's problematic. Running back. E.G. Air Gray, man, you've earned my respect. You ran your heart out. I love the vision, your change of direction, your grit, your grind, right? You know, rushing for over 200 yards and making the plays when the plays mattered and being the difference maker. And here's the part, right? In the fourth quarter, Dylan can't complete a pass. So literally, we're running the offense through you. Go look at our last possession. Do you guys know we don't throw the ball? We don't attempt a pass. We don't trust our quarterback enough to attempt a pass. West Virginia is loading the box and we still run the ball because the guy who we trust is our running back. I love what I see. I mean, obviously, I think in the offseason, you're probably going to want to work on your speed. I think you're a guy who goes on to the NFL. Shelf life in the NFL is very short. Right, injuries can creep up and mess you up. Right, this is now a league where third, fourth round is probably where a solid college running back is going to end up if you're not, you know, a generational talent like an AD or a Saquon Barkley type of a guy. Eric, go play hard these last two games, man. Continue, finish your season out very strong. Catch the ball, run the ball, blocking, just being a sharp, smart, tough player. Have no quarrels with what you've been doing. Be the best version of the player you can be. Barnes, I saw a little spunk. I saw a little spark. I saw that speed. I saw a little bit of that burst, right? You had a couple of carries. You looked a little more comfortable in there running through traffic, and it was exciting to see. I think the future's bright. We need to get some depth in there. But on Saturday, running backs, I salute you guys. You played well. Tight ends and wise. Singing the praises of nine all year. Willis, man, sharp guy. He runs his own podcast, doing a great job. I'm proud of what he and, you know, his buddies are doing over there. 1 yard, man. It's probably two, but you let 2 yards. You let a mental a bust be the difference. It ended up being the difference in the game. Granted, let's be honest with ourselves. West V could potentially go in there and score a touchdown if they had to, right? So let's just assume, you know, we have a 4-point lead. Well, if that everything happens the same aside from that TD, there's no saying that the defense is going to stop West V. So we got to hold that part there. But, man, it would have been good to not be tied, right? We've got a 4-point lead, and they have to put it in the end zone. And I mean, literally, the play is drawn up to perfection. Literally, as a fourth or fifth year player into college football, you know the rules. It's drawn up in a way where Weiss is intentionally and purposely picking your guy because it's like a screen, right, on the edge with you running and catching the ball behind the line of scrimmage. We got to do better. You got to do better, man. And again, it all boils back to that tweet where you're, you know, talking about the Mackey Awards, you're playing well, you're a leader on the team, you're stepping up when others need you. We need you to step up now. We need you to step up now. All right. So we need you to finish out your senior campaign in strong fashion. We've got to take that play, take that game, wipe it out of our memory. But man, I'd expect somebody like you to be smarter than that. Make smarter decisions than that. It was disappointing, right? There's no way to even discount or, you know, downplay what happened, man. You've got to show and be better than that. You are better than that. And my expectation is you're going to make up for that against Oklahoma State and be the leader that we know you are. Wide receivers. You know, someone said this, and what do you say when someone says it looks to me like Farouk is the most complete receiver on the team? What do you say? Right? Obviously a pup, ascending in my opinion, tough. You're just with the ball in your hands, you and Eric Gray are the two best on the entire team with the ball in your hands. You never get tackled by the first guy. You've got a sense and a physicality to you that I really enjoy, especially just being a younger guy coming up. You know, made some great plays, made some tough plays. Looking forward to seeing your development. Drake, again, out there, leader on the field. Again, dependable, right? How about your once-a-game jet sweep that you get? It's actually a pass. They usually flip yours forward. He gets one every game. In every game, he gets a first down or right there about a first down. It's good to see. It's good to have program guys, right? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Drake's a guy who gets into somebody's camp and plays in the NFL. And by the way the NFL is anymore, this isn't a cup of coffee guaranteed. He could play 10 years, depending on where he ends up. Finish your year strong, continue to be team guys, and you know, Play winning football. Be an added component to making a difference and to seeing us be successful. Because when your number one receiver has dropsies like our number one receiver has right now, we need somebody else. We know what we need. We need somebody else to get those plays. That's what we need. We need Mims to say, hey, man, I'm the guy, and not just talk about it, be about it. You know, it's been 2 or 3 weeks now where there's been drops and just, you know, plays where we leave meat on the bone. And, man, I'm a fan. This August, even last year, I called you. I said, last year, you were my dark horse to be the number one. This year, obviously, you were the bona fide lead dog. Lead from the front. Right? I noticed your drop came without gloves. And then I noticed your big play came with gloves. And a lot of people ask about the bad weather. I got to tell you, if it's not wet and cold and, like, icy, the ball is easier to catch. It has extra tact. Now, if the ball gets slick and wet, and that's a different ball game. But if it's moist and there's some even rainy games, guys, it's not terribly difficult to catch a really good leather football in those games. It's just not. It's why you see a bunch of guys make plays. Now, again, slick and cold and ice and things like that, totally different. That's a catch you got to make. Right. And especially with the gloves in that situation, that extra tact is what would have made the difference. But it was a lack of focus, man. You're right there. The ball's right here and you drop it. And to me, that there's an indictment there. To me, that's leadership. To me, that is attention to detail. And guys, listen, it's just my opinion. You know, I was having not a conversation, but some guy was leaving a remark about, you know, my opinions. Guys, it's just mine. It's okay. You don't have to agree. You don't even have to like me. I don't even care if you're a Sooner fan who thought I sucked. It's all good. You know why? Number one, I got me a ship, got mine. I literally was on the field, leading receiver in the national championship game, and was a guy who would die for my squad, and we got it done. But number two, you're entitled to your opinion too, man. And in my opinion, Mims, man, you gotta play at a higher level for a guy who I think is a guy who's you know, you're interviewing to play on Sundays. The film you're putting out there is gonna leave a lot of hesitation. You better go run a 4.38, because if you run a 4.51 as a 5'11", 174-pound dude who has the film you have, you're gonna be coming back next year whether you like it or not. And I say that just speculating, because I think you're a guy who plays on Sundays. I think you're a guy I'm cheering for the next 8 to 10 years. I really do. I think you have the potential to do it. But man, these mental lapses are killing you. They're absolutely killing you. O-line. Again, it's always hard to grade this crew because you can't have a 200-yard rusher. I think they gave up 2 or 3 sacks where 2 of them are clearly on the quarterback. He just kind of, you know, he sees a deer in the headlight. He runs into one. One of them, he just runs into it, right? He could step up into the pocket and extend the play or throw the ball. He literally tries to leak left right into a guy who's being blocked very well by our left tackle, but it counts as a sack. Here's my problem with our offensive line. Is there ever going to be a possession where it's 3rd and short, it's 4th and short, it's goal line, it's a key rundown, and you guys move somebody? See, coach can scheme you guys up into, you know, plays where you can cover guys up, right? We've seen in between the 20s where you guys were moving fast, were moving with pace, and you guys are in a rhythm. But football is an interesting game in that 4-yard radius, it's the line of scrimmage, 2 yards this way, 2 yards that way, where the games are won and lost. I never see you guys moving people when it matters. Kansas, goal line stand. By the way, embarrassing. Iowa State, just as bad. West V, man, every 3rd and 4th and short we needed, we didn't. Every 3rd and 4th and short they needed, they got. Maybe we held them on 3rd, they got it on 4th. That's this. It's mindset. That's physicality. That's want to. That's grit. That's grind, right? And I'm still waiting to see when our O-line is going to take that on the head and say, hey, man, we take this serious. Because you guys just had a running back rush for 200 yards. And I think Barnes had 2 or 3 rushes for 25, 30 yards. So you guys know how to open up holes. But which one of you guys is going to take it on the chin and say, I am a dog? run behind me. I'm going to move my man 4 freaking yards. I'm going to fold his ass into the zero technique's lap. I'm going to climb on the backer, and I'm going to take his ass to the sideline. Like, when is it going to happen? Because this rendition of you guys, again, I think you guys are leading the conference in rushing. Salute. Right? That says a lot. You guys are, there's some good things happening. Not great. Some good things happening in that room. You guys are not our biggest issue. But you're still duplicating a mindset that says soft. It says soft. Harrison's going to play on Sundays. Harrison's going to play on Sunday. Rondae Morris was a guy who, he's going to get drafted and play on Sundays, but you're losing money, son. Your inconsistency and your a lack of attention to detail. Giving up the short corner. Allowing your face to get crossed. Overextending and getting off balance and being put in a position where the DN can rock you. It's on film. It's on film. Interesting to see some change ups with the guard center guard situation. I saw Congo playing a little center. Obviously, Matuari was in there. Murray's in there. Guys, I just ask you guys to do your best, the effort to continue to go. You know, we've got two teams. By the way, in my opinion, Texas Tech has the best D lineman in the conference. Right, TCM in 2 weeks. He's a dude. All right, he's gonna give us problems, and they got another guy on the other edge who's also a great player. I think they both transferred from Florida, respectively. We got some games left to play, man. Y'all gotta show up. Y'all gotta let us know how sincere you are, guys. Don't let the situation of this season impact and infect the locker room. Don't be a selfish, we call him energy vampire. Don't be a guy who, because you're in your feelings and you're hurt, you're going to suck the energy out of the team. We got 2 more games to play and potentially a bowl game. And my expectation is that we get there. At the University of Oklahoma, that's what we do. We play for championships and we kick ass in bowl games. That's what we do. You guys are a vital, vital, vital part of that. Saturday, we can literally put the game in your hands and say, hey, man, we're going to run the ball down their throats and give DG some very oversimplified, you know, pass scenarios and win the game. Because I'm getting ready to go into defense, and I got to tell you, man, there's a lot of things over there that are not to like, starting with the D-line. I actually did like what I saw on Saturday with some of the things you guys were able to do. You guys got some pressure. I saw Grimes actually, I think he had a consecutive 2 or 3 plays where he played like the Grimes we saw, you know, in the preseason. Ethan Downs is hustling and making plays, coming backside and cleaning things up. Cole's out there, man, the penalty. But Cole's out there playing hard. Again, playing behind the line of scrimmage. It's one of those games where I think the D-line can lead the game and say, you know what I'm saying? We played winning football. We did our part. There's some things that absolutely needed to improve, but it wasn't like some of the other games where you guys were just K-State. I think you guys were at a middle school dance. Middle school Sadie Hawkins was my interpretation of that K-State. Every one of you guys all night just dancing with the linemen. Nobody getting separation. Nobody crossing face. Nobody knocking anybody backwards. K-State looked like a middle school dance. Saturday, you guys played much better. All right? Good to see you guys making plays. And man, if they keep JT Daniels in the game, we win with no question. Obviously, Green coming in and changing it up and being a better athlete. Guys, he was a better athlete than everybody in our front seven. And at a university like ours, you should have the likes of a Mike and a Will. And I would even say D-White in the cheetah position, where there's multiple guys who can strike fear in him. Guys, I saw their quarterback run into the second level and literally put the boom on our backers. Literally knock our backers off their feet. Literally push the pile when one of our or two of our backers are literally trying to tackle him. That is problematic. That was probably the worst performance I've seen by a group of backers that I can remember, including this season. So many plays. We are in a position where it's us versus them. And we need 28, or we need to come up and fill a hole, to come up and keep one arm on the lineman and keep one hand free to make a tackle. And we miss to a backup quarterback. Guys, he rushed 400 yards. He got in the end zone. He changed the whole dynamic of the game. Green comes in the game, and all of a sudden, right, we are in a position where we are timid. Guys, they complete more than 4 out of 5 fourth downs, including a 4th and 10. We just talked about Iowa State. I think it was 4th and 18. We've got a 4th and 10 they completed. Right? They're right around 50% on 3rd down. Right? It's the entire game. Guys, we won. We won the turnover battle. We won 2-0. We had no turnovers. They had 2. Right? They won time of possession by a landslide, and they dominated us on 3rd and 4th down. I said all 3 of those things, and we probably run. It was a push. The run game was a push. Between Eric Gay getting his, Gray getting his, and Green getting his when it mattered. Green got his when it mattered. He got his. By the way, he's running through our linebackers. This isn't some scheme where we're all running one direction and he's running free like Baylor. This isn't Jamar Toombs, who's a 275-pound dude that's going to drag you. We're talking about a backup Q. He's probably 6 foot, 198, 205 or whatever, and he dominated us in the fourth quarter right after the drive where they stopped us. Takes it down. Kicked the winning field goal. Backers, I have no clue what Coach V is saying in private. I know how he breaks down film. I know his expectations. I know his standards. I even know some of his lingo. And after I watched that film for a second time and saw our linebackers willfully get blocked by linemen 5 yards downfield, willfully. Take them exactly where they want to go. Our backers would do it. Willfully meet a running back or quarterback in the hole and not cross their face. And so they just slip right off of us. Right? And consistently and continually put our defense in bad situations and bad positions. And I'm not trying to defame you guys I'm not trying to slander you, assassinate you. I'm telling you the truth and what the film shows. Secondary guys, we got to tackle better. Some guy, again, Fives in there, sticking his nose in there. 22, again, sticking his nose in there. What do you had a play where you're right there? You just got to make the play, right? Morrison, 6, you're right there. You just got to make the play. It's just interesting to me that so many teams have receivers and a quarterback that have enough chemistry where they kind of throw that moon ball up there and either, we don't make the play and they score a touchdown or we get the PI. I mean, it happens to us once or twice a game. We've probably had 1 or 2 this season. I think we got a PI on Saturday. I don't know. In fact, I think it was to Farouk. I'm not 100% certain, but it's chemistry. What, you gave up a big play. You also made a great play, putting your hat on the ball and forcing a fumble. That was good to see. 3 comes in. It shows some aggressive nature. He also shows some puppy moments as well. Secondary, again, that's a secondary issue. I also think it is a chemistry issue, a lack of time issue that I think we can repair and get better at in the weeks to come and then in the offseason. But the future looks fairly bright there. The future looks fairly bright there. I take it to coaching. And this has been a hot topic, I think. Right? I mean, listen. At a place like OU, when you're 5-5, you're literally on the brink of being less than 500. Everything has to be discussed. Everything has to be looked at. I don't have any issue with people questioning coaching or having critiques towards coaching. But listen, let me just say this: we win that game by 3. The attitude is different. Right. If the roles are reversed and the game is tied and we're going down and we kick that field goal, you guys are excited. We're 6-4. We're bowl eligible. We're on course for where we need to be. The difference between 6-4 and 5-5 Remember I told you guys football goes down to five plays? By the way, these five plays, if we're playing chess and players are chess pieces and the players just do what they're supposed to do, this game is a 21-point blowout. Play number one. Willis simply stays behind the line of scrimmage. We don't get a field goal there. We get a touchdown. So that's plus four. Play number two. We're in trips. Mims runs a skinny post. The safety is splitting one and three. He can't even get to him. Mims is by himself, and Dillon Gabriel has no immediate pressure. We don't even get close. The ball skips behind him 5 yards. Guys, it's a touchdown. Play number three. Dillon gets it right. Mims beats his man. Dillon throws a perfect pass, literally, at the face of Mims, and we drop it. That's literally, guys. So 4 point difference on Willis's. 7 more points for Mims when he and Dillon just misses him. And then 7 more points when Mims drops the ball. Play four. Fourth down. Westby lines up in punt formation. They fake the punt. By the way, guys, they're trying to pass the ball. It's a run pass option, but their first read is to pass it. We cover it. The quarterback, who is one of their starting receivers, is now trying to figure out what to do. The pursuit comes. Go back and watch the play. Kanick, true freshman, going to be a stud, I believe, sometime down the road, literally gives up his discipline. He's supposed to be inside out, tracking the ball from the inside, doesn't get out leveraged, and he runs, he turns his shoulders, and he runs parallel to the line of scrimmage, and he gives up his inside out angle. And the receiver, who's a good athlete, sticks his foot in the ground, goes up and under it, and gets the first down. Guys, we're getting the ball on the plus side of the field. The play is stoned. It's stopped. We did everything we needed to do except play disciplined football. And because we don't, we give that up. Play five. We score a touchdown. We actually score a touchdown. And we're in the ensuing kickoff. We kick the ball short, and K-State, come back to mind, K-State last year. By the way, it happened in K-State 2 years in a row. But we kick the ball. It's right before half. We're going to go in with momentum and the lead, and no, we're not, because we give up a huge kickoff return, and now they're in a position to go get more points, and they go get more points. Those five plays. By the way, everything's done. Everything's done. Everything's done right. I'm not even bringing up the penalty. Lord knows when Colden catches that ball, that's a penalty. The interception in the end zone, he kneels down, the guy knocks him on his butt. It's not like he hit him soft. He hit him pretty hard. It's a penalty. But those five plays, doesn't matter what the coach is called. The coach is called the right play. They set us in the right position. We're in the right scheme. We do everything right. Our guys got to make plays. They've got to make plays. When we don't make plays, this is the consequences that we face. And we don't get to, I mean, you get to, right? You're emotional. You're upset. It's a Saturday, right? I got you. We expect OU to win every Saturday. I'm with you. I'm with you. But the coaches aren't on the field playing. And these coaches didn't recruit those kids. And these coaches haven't had a full calendar year with them yet. We got to give the coaches time. But I'm with you. Next year, we have these same issues. Oh, I'm going bonkers. I'm going bonkers right with you, because as much as I love Bob Stoops, as much as I love, you know, Mike Leach, as much as I love Mark Mangino, the same thing they told me applies to them. There's only one Oklahoma. There's only one. And the school comes first. The name on the front comes before the name on the back. By the way, we applied that rule to ourselves. That's why I stay locked in. Last but not least, guys, coaching. Coach, I don't even know what to say. Some of your problems are just kind of unfixable. You don't have the proper players today to correct some of the issues you face. It's kind of like, you know, you go into somebody else's house and you say, hey, man, I want to make some spaghetti. And they're like, yep, I got all the ingredients you need for spaghetti here in my kitchen. So you don't stop by the store anyway, and you get to the house and you find out they don't have garlic. You find out they don't have Italian sausage, right? They use a cheap ragu sauce versus making a real, you know, red stew, right? What are you gonna do? You know what you gotta do? You've gotta reset and go to the store and get your ingredients. We've gotta have that mentality with our coaches. Guys, we're playing with, remember guys, in December and January of last year after our bowl game, we had no scholarship quarterbacks. Rattler's out, C-Dub's out, we have no one. There's none. Booty's not here yet. Bevel's not here yet. DG is a couple days away from going to class in UCLA. That's our quarterback room. Remember, our transcendent quarterback, our top recruit in that class, leaves and takes the other five-star with him. Right? Remember, our best weak side end, our best strong side end, our best linebacker, and our best D tackle are all playing on Sunday. So when Coach V comes in, and we can't just act like the cupboard was full. The tape says we don't have a true middle linebacker on the field. We have a defensive end with defensive end feet and defensive end change of direction playing linebacker. By the way, it's no shot, right? I think if DU's in a position where he's a weak side end and he's 20 pounds heavier because he didn't try to change his body to play a position that doesn't suit him, I think he's out there wreaking havoc like he did 2 years ago when he was playing with Perk and those guys. You remember the DU when we play against Oklahoma State and he acts like he's coming off the edge and he takes a couple steps back and they throw the ball and he taps it to himself, he intercepts it. You remember that DU? Well, that was a 247-pound sophomore. Now he's a 230-pound senior, but he still has the athleticism of a plus D end. Stuntsman's first year playing varsity ball. I watch the film and I'm like, man, these are correctable things he does. Right? When he goes to fill a hole, he stays a yard or two he doesn't fill it all the way. And because he leaves that air, it gives people the opportunity to squirt out of it, right? Diagnosing and scraping, he's solid. But understanding route combos and knowing where to be and how to read at a 45-degree angle so you can see in front of you and see behind you per se, it's something that he needs another offseason to correct. And he also needs hard competition. These guys are in practice knowing there's no one else. There's no competition in practice, guys. Whittier is hurt. Little Roof is hurt, right? Kip Lewis and Kanick are true puppies. There's no comp. We don't have quality depth. The program is starting back from square one. That's why we're 5-5. So just to wrap this thing up, guys, number one, I want to let you guys know, this doesn't mean we beat up our program, we talk crap. If what I said today is talking crap, then I apologize for telling the truth. But I'm not going to badmouth these guys. They're playing their hearts out. If they were quitting and if they were, you know, popping off and hot dogging it, then that's a whole nother thing. But right now they're just not OU quality and their record speaks for them. If you didn't think John Blake and his record was OU quality, we can't call this OU quality. And he had 3 years. He had 3 years. By the way, he recruited some dudes. Just saying, he recruited a cup. But no, we've got to focus. The focus has to be number one, keeping that recruiting class in place. We got to keep Jackson. We got to keep PJ. We got to keep, I love the Lewis kid out of Florida. He alphas, Vickers, alpha. We need more alphas. I don't see alphas on the field. I don't see war daddies. I don't see them. We need more of them. Right? We need to continue to get those guys, LeBlancs of the world. We need big, strong, athletic, physical depth. It's coming. I love Sam O, right? Lewis Carter, they boys. We need them. Continue. The kid from Washington, smart, physical, long kid. We need more of those guys. Number two is we got to get to a bowl game. We got to figure out a way to win our rivalry game. We got to figure out a way to beat those guys. We got to figure it out. Figure it out. I don't care if we got to run triple option football this week. I don't care if we got to sit somebody who's a starter. I don't care what we got to do. We got to win that game. All right? And we got to win the portal. We got a lot of work to do in the portal. When you got backers who don't have anybody in competition, so the standard can be very low, that's problematic. When we've got safeties, and we've had a lot of injuries in that area of the field, but we got guys who have no business playing the amount of minutes we're playing, we're in trouble, right? When three out of five of our starting linemen are transfers, that tells you where we've been from a recruiting standpoint. We better fix it on both ends of the spectrum. When we don't have a D lineman, a D end who's had a sack in 4 or 5 weeks, we don't have a D end with a sack in 4 or 5 weeks. Thomas should have had him when he grabbed a face mask. He's got the most explosiveness out of the bunch. We need more competition. We need more quality depth and competition. It's a huge reach for us to make sure we get that done. It's your boy D-Mac, my 10 thoughts. Boomer Nation, I love you guys. Sooner Nation, I love you guys. Let's go win this game Saturday. Keep your heads up, man. We got to go through it. You guys saw it. Alabama doesn't have 23 years of consecutive wins. Ohio State doesn't have 23 years. Clemson doesn't have 23 years. We do. And we're in a position where we can keep that streak going. And I believe we have what it takes to get it done. We got to hold it together. We got to have each other's backs. And we got to keep playing Sooner football. God bless. Take care. Have a great day.